Well, good evening, everybody. I see during the worship, we definitely had quite a few people come in. Who's here for the first time tonight? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, bless God. I am busy with a series on Satan's influence in music. Did you enjoy the worship?
Yes.
Did the worship speak to your soul?
Yes.
Did the worship touch your spirit?
Yes.
Then to quote Jimi Hendrix, music is a spiritual thing. It is. Music touches us. Music changes us. Music affects us. Uncle Ed, just play me at random one of those songs that we sometimes play. Let me just ask, is everybody mellow? Is everybody happy? Is everybody... There we go. I have no clue what he's going to play. We're going to see what he's going to play, and then we see what it does. Emotion that bring in you? Okay, he feels peace, all right. And you? It reminds you of the old days in the Ingia Kerk. In other words, when the auntie was moving with the oral, and it was like, it sounded like a cat going, okay, let me not go there. Somebody said something at the back there. Somber, okay. She felt somber. Who felt something else? Auntie Jenny felt morbid. Okay, it's a good thing you didn't bring a lot of pills with, hey? All right. Okay. Everybody felt something different. Play one more, just at random, whatever one. What did you feel when that song played?
Anxious.
You felt anxious. You got stressed. You don't want to go into the swimming pool now, eh? Yeah, there we go. You know, I shared this the other night, but me and Eddie, we did this series about 5-6 years ago at a church in Klerksdorp. No, it was Klerksdorp, eh? It was for youth. It was a youth rally. And we probably had about 500-600 young people there. And the interesting thing is when this song... Okay, theme began to play. There was a four-year-old boy sitting in the front row. Now, take into account that he's 4 years old. When the movie Jaws came out, he wasn't even a twinkle in his mother's eye. He doesn't know what this is about, but when this thing began to play, he jumped up and he tried to hide under the chair. In other words, this music is very good at creating an atmosphere of panic, stress, worry, anxiety, etc., etc. Okay, what I'm simply trying to show you is this. The type of music that plays affects the way we experience things. It speaks to us. It, in some way, opens us up to begin to experience something different. Sometimes you can be in a happy mood and then a very sad song begins to play, and the next moment the tears are just running down your cheeks. Okay? There's a couple of songs out there. I'm thinking of one song. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But then the oak dies. I mean, come on. It's like it starts lacquer and then it's like we all end up bawling. So music is something that speaks to us, that programs us, that affects us. And whether you like it or not, that is just the way that God created us. Do you know why God created us that way? Because God Himself operates through music. Worship touches your soul. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. In other words, when we begin to musically worship and praise God, the Spirit of God begins to move and touch His people. God operates through music. Therefore, He created us in a way that when He operates through music, it will touch us. Unfortunately, it is not just the Spirit of God that operates through music. You must understand something. If the Spirit of God can operate through music, then music can be inhabited by a spirit. Hello? Is the only spirit out there the Holy Spirit? Well, there's plenty spirits out there. Sometimes we call them chochos. Sometimes we call them demons. We can call them evil spirits. We can call them devils. We can call them curses. You can call them what you want. But it is not just the Holy Spirit that inhabits music. There are a variety of spirits that can inhabit music. It just depends on what type of music we're talking about. I wanna give you peace. Jan Pirovit is not inhabited by anything, all right. Okay, the English people don't know what I'm talking about now. Let's think of a nice English song. Jack and Jill. No, Jack and Jill is a rhyme. Okay, I don't really know the English songs. Okay, but you know, generally the type of stuff that when we were younger is fine. We're trying to talk to you about what's going on in the music world today. And we have to be very careful. I want to give you just one scripture here before I start. It comes from the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Now, this is a very, very important scripture because it is telling us very clearly that there are two kingdoms. If there is a kingdom of light, it stands to reason there must be a kingdom of darkness. And it says we give thanks to the Father who has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Now, dominion means rulership. It means authority. It means power of darkness. I want you to understand something. There's a lot of people that say, because I'm a Christian, because I'm a child of God, the devil can't touch me. Even the Bible says that there is dominion, which means power, in the kingdom of darkness. To think that way is foolish. And people that think that way have more devils in them than they care to know. When you start saying the devil can't touch me, the devil's touched you a long time ago. He's deceived you. That's it. The Bible says, if possible, Satan will deceive even the very elect. So what makes you think he's not going to deceive you? He's busy right now coming up with plans and schemes to bring deception into your life. And you need to know the Word of God. And you need to apply the truth. Now I want you to understand something. The truth has nothing to do with what Oprah said last week. The truth has got to do with what Jesus says today. And what He says in His Word. Dr. Phil might be a wise man, but the truth he speaks is not necessarily the truth that you find in the Word of God. There is only one truth that will set you free. And the Bible says when the Son has set you free, then you will be free indeed. If you want to live a life of victory, if you want to have freedom and liberty in your life, you need to apply the Word of God to your life, because that's going to break the chains of the enemy trying to pull you back. Now please note, the Bible says that Satan, if possible, will deceive even the very elect. They're not talking about some satanic prince of darkness. They're not talking about some bride of Satan. They're not talking about some mass murderer or some... You saw the footage of what happened in the United States yesterday, I think. They're not talking about that. Oh, the very elect is Christian believers that have reached quite big heights in the kingdom of God. That means the devil is going to come after even the very elect. Your pastor is a target. Hello? Your cell group leader is a target. Hello? The devil leaves nobody alone, especially not when we want to be different. Is there anybody in this place that has an earnest desire to seek God, serve God, and make a difference in this world? Okay, now I don't want to panic you. I don't want to stress you, but the devil doesn't like you. But that's okay. I don't think you like him either. So it's probably tit for tat. But the fact of the matter is, the devil is not just going to sit back and let you go out there and give big crusades and lead 1 million people to Christ. He's going to do whatever he can to make you discouraged, to make you stressed, to make you doubt. to confuse you. And sometimes he can't manage that. Then he brings calamity into your life so that problems can make you get angry and frustrated and irritable. But what I'm trying to tell you is the devil will use diverse ways to try and get to us. Now, right now in this series, we're looking at one of the ways that the enemy uses to try and get to us. Because here's the thing. Is there anybody in this hall that does not like music? You don't like music at all. Like when something nice begins to play, you're the one that doesn't go. Okay? Yeah, if you raised your hands now, I would have to cast that lying spirit out of you. Because I'm telling you now, everybody likes music. But you see, the devil knows that. So why not use something that everybody loves, that we, you know, most of us, in some way or the other, spends our day exposed to music. You drive in the car in the morning, you listen to music. You get to the office, there's music playing in the background. You want to chill out and have a nice cup of coffee, some music is playing somewhere. Music is a big part of our daily living. Now, why not use that medium to try and get to people, to mess with them, to infiltrate their lives? Doesn't the Bible say that the enemy will try and deceive, yes, even the very elect? Okay. Now, does God want us to know and understand how the enemy works? Well, the Bible says if we don't know how the devil works, the devil will deceive us. So it's better for us to know and understand. Getting back to that scripture, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Right now we are in the kingdom of light, but the kingdom of darkness has not forgotten who you are. They still know exactly who you are, and the devil is the ultimate sore loser. He can't stand the fact that you moved. In Afrikaans, jy het gedros, which is good for you, but bad for the devil. And he wants you back. Now he has to use whatever he can. And then it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion, the power of darkness. My friend, there is a lot of power in the satanic kingdom. When Jesus said Satan came to steal, kill, and to destroy, Jesus was not joking. Satan can take life. He is a murderer. The Bible says in John 8 verse 44, Satan is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abides not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Jesus says Satan can take life. You need power to take life. Do you know how the enemy takes life? Well, sometimes he can cause an accident and boom, there you go. But a lot of the times he brings depression, darkness, hopelessness, despair, and you do the job for him. Do you know how many Christians commit suicide? Plenty. Should they ever have got to that point? No. But probably they didn't know the truth. Probably nobody ever helped them to truly break free from the dominion of darkness. Jesus' word says, God wants to rescue us from the power of darkness. Now here's the thing. There's a lot of people that profess Jesus with their mouth, but darkness still has a lot of power in their lives. Oh, Rian, that's impossible. Then why do so many professing believers sit with addictions? You want to tell me that comes from God? It doesn't come from God. The dominion of darkness still has power there. Why do so many people that profess Jesus suffer from depression? You want to tell me God gives them that? The gospel is good news, my friend. If the good news can't make you smile, then the devil has power in your life and you need to be rescued from that. Let's look at some of the ways that the enemy gets power over people's lives. Tonight we're going to look at somebody that is very famous. And I think everybody here knows exactly who she is. She is known as Lady Gaga. In Afrikaans, we would refer to her as Lady Gaga. All right. Last week, I showed you a man by the name of Jay-Z. Let's quickly go back to Jay-Z and then we recap. Jay-Z would be number 78. There we go. There is a man by the name of Jay-Z, very, very popular right now, high up in all sorts of funny, stupid circles. He's wearing a sweater. The sweater says, do what thou wilt. I know for the people that are here for the first time tonight, that might not make a lot of sense, but there was a man in history called Aleister Crowley, who is referred to in today's age as the father of modern day Satanism. He pioneered the rituals and things that in today's modern day Satanism are used to glorify Satan and bring destruction to people's lives. That man, Aleister Crowley, wrote a book. What is interesting about this book, I can't say novel, but interesting about this book was revealed to him by a demon that appeared to him in the 1930s in Egypt when he was camping by the pyramids. His wife went into a trance and a spirit began to speak through his wife. The spirit told him, "I am Horus, the Egyptian god of war, and I have come to give you instructions because you are the Antichrist. You are the 666 that the Bible speaks of." Aleister Crowley, being very involved in the occult, saw that as a bargain. To him, it was like, wow, I am the Antichrist. Good stuff. Tell me, what must I do? And then the information given by this demon was written in a book. The book was called The Book of the Law. And to sum up the Book of the Law, it basically preaches, do what thou will, and that shall be the whole of the law. In other words, it is in complete rebellion to the Word of God. Do you agree with me that the Word of God gives us boundaries? Do you agree with me that the law tells us there are certain things that thou shalt not? When God says thou shalt not kill, he means don't kill your neighbor. When God says don't lie, he means don't lie. Why? Because it gives the devil power and it destroys your life. Now, Aleister Crowley's entire philosophy in life was nobody has the right to tell you what to do, not even God, because we are all gods and therefore we can do whatever we please. This man is sitting there proudly displaying Aleister Crowley's mantra, do what thou wilt. In other words, I do whatever I want, you do whatever you want, and you can believe one thing. He's into Crowleyism, or Satanism if you like, otherwise he would never have worn that sweater, and the influence of that satanic verses is coming through in his music. Just do the next one. What was the next one? Okay. Jay-Z likes to, let's say Hollywood these days, but Jay-Z was one of the guys that started this. Every time they go somewhere, they show this pyramid. There we see the pyramid. Take it one step further. There you see it. This is his official wear. You know what? Everybody today has to have their official line. This is his official line. Wherever you go, you see occultic symbolism, masters of the craft, the all-seeing eye at the top, the pyramid there. Lots of occultic symbolism in his life and in the stuff that he does. Go on for me. That is the eye of Horus. There is the eye of Horus on a cap that he propagates. Just take it one step further. Here's something interesting. That woman on the left is a high priestess in the order of Astarte, which is a spin-off of Aleister Crowley's satanic religion. She is opening the lodge, and Jay-Z is doing exactly the same thing that she's doing. What is he doing? She's invoking the powers of demons, evil spirits, etc. Can you see any difference between what she's doing and what he's doing? Because there's no difference. They're doing the same thing. Take it one step further for me. Here is a song. One of Jay-Z's songs that has a backmasked message in it. I'm going to play it for you forward. It sounds like a bunch of rambling. It's like this just rambling piece in the middle of the song. I'm going to play it for you. Do we have it forward? Play it forward. Now I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to play it to you backwards.
Murder, murder, Jesus. Tricks.
Okay. I will introduce you to evil. Murder, murder, Jesus. 666. No, he can't murder Jesus. That's good news. But the fact of the matter is, these people are propagating a message. that we might not always understand, but it is clearly coming through in their songs. And I showed you already that music influences us. Here's the question. What happens to us when we start listening to this type of music and the artists that play this type of music? Well, there's a spirit working in their life, probably the spirit of the Antichrist. What would you say would be the main purpose of the spirit of the Antichrist in your life? No. He's Antichrist. He has one purpose only, to push you away from God. You start listening to this music, suddenly, without even realizing it, you don't want to go to church anymore. You begin to question scriptures. You begin to argue with people about the validity of certain scriptures and how things work in the kingdom of God. You begin to question God. Why? Because the spirit of the Antichrist is beginning to influence your life. And you don't necessarily know where it's coming from, because God warns us in His word, the enemy wants to deceive even the very elect. So we need to know and understand how the devil operates. Okay, let's get away from him. Let's go to Lady Gaga. Just like Jay-Z, Lady Gaga's videos are also full of occultic symbolism. She constantly seems to be hiding her one eye from the camera. The gesture of covering one eye has long been used in occultic orders. Once again, it is seen to represent the eye of Horus. Who was the one that spoke to Aleister Crowley in the desert and gave him the mantra, "Do as thou wilt"? It was Horus. Now, I know for some of you, you weren't here right in the beginning, but I showed how many of today's rock musicians and pop musicians actually follow Aleister Crowley and his religion. Now, if they follow his religion, they are following Horus, the spirit that spoke to him in the desert. Now, I want you to take a look. On the left-hand side, she's showing one eye. In the middle, she's showing one eye. On the right, she's showing one eye. The symbol for Horus is one eye. Whenever they do that, they are showing their allegiance to who they serve. Who do they serve? The God of one eye, which is who? It's Horus. Let me give you some background on the eye of Horus. This is straight from an encyclopedia. Horus, the son of Osiris and Isis, was called Horus, who rules with two eyes. His right eye was white and it represented the sun. His left eye was black and it represented the moon. According to myth, Horus lost his left eye to his brother Seth, whom he fought to avenge Seth's murder of Osiris. Seth tore out Horus's eye but lost the fight. The eye was reassembled by magic through Thoth, the god of writing, moon, and magic. Horus presented this eye to Osiris, who experienced a rebirth in the underworld. The Egyptians used the eye as a funerary amulet for protection against evil and the rebirth in the underworld. Worn as jewelry, the eye served to ensure safety, protect, and give the wearer prosperity. It was also called the all-seeing eye. Other attributes associated with this eye is terror and wrath. It comes from Harper's Encyclopedia of Mystical and Paranormal Experience. Okay, do number 94 for me. There is Lady Gaga again. She loves to be photographed where she is putting a focus on one eye. I think you get the idea. She's trying to give us an indication as to who she serves. During Lady Gaga's Monster Tour, the tour was called the Monster Tour, she and her backing dancers performed beneath a massive banner that clearly displayed the eye of Horus. Okay, you can't, the perspective is a bit off here, but this banner was massive and it draped the entire back of the stage, and she and her dancers were dancing beneath this. If you take a look at it, it is clearly the eye of Horus, the all-seeing eye under which she is performing. In the next picture, Lady Gaga is pictured with her left eye closed and an eye drawn on her left hand. That is on the left. On the right, who knows what that chocho is? That is Baphomet. That is one of the demons associated with Satanism. In fact, that is one of the main spirits associated. Yes. We'll pray for you later. Okay, that spirit on the right, That demon on the right is a very, very, very destructive demon. He plays a big role in the occult. He plays a big role in Satanism. He plays a big role in Freemasonry. He plays a big role in anything that has anything to do with satanic power being released into people's lives. Now, if you take a look at the way he is sitting and you take a look at the way she's holding her hands, can you see that there is a clear link between him and her? Okay. Now, here's my question. Why would she do that? Well, there's only one reason, because she serves these spirits. Lady Gaga shot to fame like that. You know, most, yes. Okay, well, Eddie is being very perceptive as usual, and he says it's amazing that while she is displaying Baphomet and the Eye of Horus and all sorts of stuff like that, they've got the doves there as if she's coming in peace. Do not be deceived. She's not coming in peace. If you listen a bit to how Lady Gaga came onto the scene, she came out of nowhere. You know, there's a lot of other artists that they had to just really work and work and work at it. And eventually they caught a break here and caught a break there. And then they become good and we love them and we appreciate them. This woman is something different. One day she was nowhere. The next day she was on the top 40 and she hit number one. And she had one number one hit after the other, after the other, after the other. It's almost unheard of now. Even though it would seem to be unheard of, if we take into account that Lucifer himself is the god of music, then it is not so difficult to understand where she got this inspiration from. The fact of the matter is, spirits can be brilliant at music. You know, Lucifer, I showed you in the beginning, the first and the second of the series, I showed you that when Lucifer was still in the heavens, before he was called Satan or the devil, he was called Lucifer. And when he was in the heavens, his function was to be in charge of worship. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to show us that all the musical instruments known to man are interwoven into his being. If you want to understand Lucifer, you have to understand his connection to music. What easier way to deceive young people than to be who he is? A musical magician. But to use it in a way to draw them away from God and into rubbish. To get them to question God. To get them to become rebellious towards their parents. You know what? There's a lot of young people here. If you are honest with yourself, you will acknowledge that what I'm saying now is true. Certain types of music, when you get exposed to it, you instantly become rebellious. You become antisocial. You become angry, you become spiteful, you become anti-society. Why? It has to do with the spirit that comes through the music. Certain music make people that way. I shared with you in the beginning, there was a lady that I was helping many years ago. She was involved in Satanism. She had plenty, plenty, plenty devils in her. And she came to me for deliverance. We would deal with certain areas of her life. I would pray with her. The demons would manifest. They would come out. One day she came walking into my office carrying a CD. I was immediately intrigued. I said to her, what is this CD all about? I picked it up and I had a look at it. And she said to me, I want to show you the CD because the strangest things happen to me when I play the CD. I said, like what? She says, well, I normally go into a trance. And then I don't know what I do until I eventually come out. And normally she gets up to all sorts of mischief and does all sorts of bad things. I said to her, that's very interesting. She says, the reason I want to talk about that is, and then she shared with me that on numerous different occasions she had been locked up. She would go to nightclubs, and when certain types of music played, she would go into the same type of trance. And while she was in that trance, she would do one of two things. She would either strip off all her clothes, or she would begin to beat up somebody, and she would often take a beer bottle, break it, and begin to slice somebody. Not knowing what she's doing, because at that point in time, she's controlled by an evil spirit that obviously had some influence over her life through the music. And then she had the dubious pleasure of trying to explain to some state prosecutor that I did it, but I didn't do it because I wasn't there. You know, they didn't often fall for that. So the fact of the matter is, her life, to some extent, was controlled through music. Now, show me the next one. There's Lady Gaga. We know who Baphomet is. Baphomet is like, if I can put it to you this way, one of the ways that you could look at Baphomet, if Jesus is the Son of God, Baphomet is the son of Satan. He fulfills that kind of a role in the satanic kingdom. Now, Baphomet has those kind of horns and he's got those kind of wings. And if you take a look at her on the left-hand side, she's clearly showing us, I've got my horns. On the right-hand side, she's showing us my horns represent Baphomet. And I don't think you should ask any more questions. You know that she's up to no good. Now, one thing is very clear. Lady Gaga seems to have a very powerful influence on her fans and on the people that listen to her music. I've also shown you that when she performs on stage, some of the things, the occultic symbolism that seems to go with her is obviously not intended for her because she's already controlled by whatever that is. Who is it intended for? The people sitting in the audience. It's there to influence them, to bring them under a control. I'm going to quote you Mr. Jimi Hendrix, just because he had a very bright moment when he made this quote. Jimi Hendrix made the following statement. He said, atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing on its own. You can hypnotize people with music. And when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say. When she's got all that symbolism on the stage that, you know, to us is just she's being weird and eclectic. She's not. She's using that to help. Jimi Hendrix already says music can program you. Music can hypnotize you. She's very aware of that. And she's using occultic symbolism to get more power to get you under her spell much, much quicker. Let me show you just two people that wrote on the internet about the amount of power that Lady Gaga had over their lives. Listen to this. This is the first example. I'm quoting. It's a young lady, her name is Melissa B. She says this, "The first time I watched the video, I felt that something was different. I could not put my finger on it, so I watched it again and again and again and again. When I still felt something, I googled Lady Gaga bad romance, subliminal message, and a whole bunch of stuff came up." In other words, the song that she was watching, the video she was watching is Lady Gaga bad romance. "I had no idea how many other people felt the same way. I have never had a song affect me so much. I don't know what it is or how it is doing this. But Bad Romance has hooked me like no other song has ever done. I am listening to it right now. I find myself bringing my iPod to work and wanting to listen to it even in the bathroom. I feel like it is a sickness or something. I am a normal person, but this song is like a drug to me. This song is stuck in my head all day long and I sing it all day. The video plays over and over in my head all day long too. I don't know if she is involved in the Illuminati or not, but something has to be going on because this has never happened to me." She's not the only one. There's a lot of young people that listen to her stuff and they get hooked and they go mad for this woman. She says, "I have read other websites too about the same song and the same issue with other people. I don't feel like I am going crazy alone because I'm not the only one this is happening to. I would love to hear more people's opinions on this." Interesting. Then there's a second example. Comes from a young man by the name of Paul. He says, "Okay, I consider myself to be a pretty big fan of music in general. I have a pretty vast knowledge of music, and I have heard a lot of different artists and genres, etc. So I'm just going to put this one thing out there. This is the most infectious song I have ever heard. It is almost eerie the way that hook and the chorus just sucks you in. It is weird. I wouldn't be surprised if all those gibberish bits in between where she's going ga ga ooh la la had some subliminal messages in them. I mean, I don't mean like evil stab your mother stuff. Just like you will love the song. You will buy 100 copies of Fame Monster. That sort of thing." And then he laughs. I do like the song, by the way, but like I said, there is something unsettling about how hypnotic this song is. She's in my home country of New Zealand at the moment doing a couple of concerts. Honestly, I would enjoy going to it, but it would be too embarrassing. I'm a 19-year-old guy, and it just wouldn't be cool at all for me to go to some pop diva's little lip-sync fest, a sprawling festival of estrogen and lip balm. Okay. But one thing that these two people have in common, and if you go and search on the internet, you will find many more people saying exactly the same thing. They listen to one or two of her songs and they cannot get rid of it. And it's like something draws them to keep listening to it over and over and over again. And both of them say, we love music, but this has never happened to us. All these people describe Lady Gaga's music as having some kind of a powerful effect on people. Let's take a look at one of her songs. Let's see what it does when we play it backwards. Lady Gaga has a song entitled Paparazzi. I'm going to play a portion of it for you forward. Okay, probably you recognize that from the radio. It's been playing many, many, many times. If you turn that exact portion of music, that extract, if you turn it around, this message comes through. Okay, very interesting. She says there, evil save us. The stars above, we model it on the arts of Lucifer. Why would that come through in the song? Well, the question should be, who gave her that song? Who gave her Bad Romance? Who gave her Poker Face? Who gave her any of those songs that played over and over and over again? Even the radio stations could not get enough of it. Something is speaking through her music. It's not the Spirit of God, but it is a spirit. You can call it Baphomet if you want. You could call it something else, but it's not right. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5 says, it is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. You know, my friends, I do love all kinds of music, and I've said this before and I'm going to just repeat it. I'm not trying to tell you to get rid of all of your music. You know, music is good. Music was created by God, and music is good. It speaks to our souls. It can be uplifting, it can be a blessing, it can put a smile on your face. But there is a type of music that we have to be very, very careful of. This music that comes from this person and some of the other people that we've looked at is not good. And I'm simply trying to educate you that you understand that there are certain things that is better for you to push away. I do not listen to her stuff. I do not play any of her stuff. I have tons of music on my computer. When we have parties, I am the DJ. I love music. I grew up in the 80s, man. How can I not like music? Come on. Half of you went to the clubs with me. Now you make like you don't know me, but you used to. Come on. Huh? Who used to go to Bella Napoli? You saw me there. Who used to go to Masquerade? You saw me there. Who used to go to White Horse? You saw me there. Now here's the thing. I still love music. Music is something amazing. Music is something wonderful. But there is an element to music that will destroy your life. And you must know what it is. And you must stay away from it. Don't go there. Okay. We have a video. It was on the internet, it's been surfacing on the internet lately, and you know what, because it's just speaking to what we're talking about, I'll give you a bit of background. Things are not going well for Lady Gaga recently. She's very sick, she's got a whole bunch of weird sicknesses and infirmities. What does that remind you of? It reminds me of the devil, because he gives with the one hand and he takes with the other hand, and he always takes more than what he gives. And you know what? You've got to pay the piper. That's just the way life is. And lately, she's been understanding that she's actually paying a very big price for some decisions that she made in her life. I'm just going to let the video play and then we'll talk about it later. What?
Pop star Lady Gaga has spoken openly about her membership of the Illuminati for the first time to say that she regrets joining the secret society. Gaga, a sufferer of the painful fibromyalgia syndrome, FMS, says she believes her long-term illness is the result of her allowing dark forces to manifest themselves in her body when she sold her soul to the Illuminati early on in her career. The singer spoke candidly in her upcoming Netflix-produced Gaga 5'2" documentary, which is meant to be a warts and all portrait of the troubled star. However, the final cut appears to be more of a fly-on-the-wall footage montage of rehearsals, studio sessions, public appearances, private late-night conversations, medical appointments, and multiple tearful breakdowns. According to production staff, many of the interview scenes were left on the cutting room floor due to orders from above. When describing some of the more interesting scenes that were cut from the final edit, production staff revealed that Gaga recalled meeting with a Catholic priest to discuss undergoing an exorcism to rid her body of the dark spirituality that she invited into her body during satanic rituals early on in her career. She described how she was first inducted into the Illuminati by donating her soul, which she says took place at a club in New York's Lower East Side after performing a burlesque show in 2006. Gaga described the experience as very real and visceral, not metaphorical at all. "I had just been on stage, it was a good show, I was high on the love and applause from the crowd. I was outside lighting a cigarette, thinking about scoring some more cocaine. I was aching for more. More of everything. I just wanted to feel good. Feel anything. Then this man, a strangely ageless man in a suit, spoke to me. He was leaning against the wall, smoking, and he said to me, 'I think you've got what it takes. Do you want it?' I asked what it was. I thought he was coming on to me. But he smiled and said everything. Success. Fame. Riches. Power. Do you want it all?' I looked at him curiously. I couldn't work him out. Then he just stood there and sang one of the songs from my routine earlier. It was otherworldly. I stared at him like he was a dark jewel dredged up from the deepest ocean. I got down on my knees and asked him who I should praise. I looked him right in the eye and told him I wanted it all. I told him I'd do anything. Before meeting the man she describes as my illuminated prince, Gaga had little commercial success or public recognition, as a struggling performer who mostly played in dive bars, in burlesque clubs, and at late-night reviews. Gaga was able to create the music and achieve everything she had ever dreamed of, in exchange for one thing, her soul. Outside the Mercury Lounge in New York City that night, Gaga concluded a deal with the prince and instantly found that success was a cinch. In exchange for her soul, Gaga was able to create the music for which she became famous, with the most well-respected collaborators, producers, and promoters in the business queuing up to work with the unknown club singer. Within 1 year she was one of the biggest-selling artists on the planet. His promises came true very quickly. "At the start, I thought we made a good team. But it wasn't long before I began to suffer." Gaga has fought with conflicting forces battling for supremacy inside herself for years, and she's frequently at war with herself in the documentary. One side is driven to perform, whistle, the other seems to be struggling with dark forces. Gaga has suffered from the physical illness, fibromyalgia, a chronic pain condition, for years, which she is the physical manifestation of her fight to get out of the Illuminati-controlled record industry and break her contract with the Dark Prince. "They may give you special powers, outer beauty, talent, and wealth for a while, but it doesn't last," Gaga said. "This is the reason why so many people who dabble in the dark arts are so unhappy. They flicker bright like a morning star and then wind up committing suicide or destroying themselves with substance abuse." They flicker bright like a morning star and then wind up committing suicide or destroying themselves with substance abuse. Lady Gaga has recently announced that she is rescheduling the European leg of her Joanne World Tour, citing the severe pain that is impacting her ability to perform. In a post from her official Instagram page, featuring a photograph of herself holding a crucifix and praying, she said she had always been honest about her physical and spiritual health conditions, and has been searching for years to get to the bottom of them. As I get stronger and when I feel ready, I will tell my story in more depth and plan to take this on strongly so I can not only raise awareness but expand research for others who suffer as I do, so I can help make a difference, wrote Gaga.
Amen. You know, I don't know if you heard, well, I'm sure you did. She was struggling. She was barely making ends meet. And one night after a show, the stranger appeared to her. She calls him the Ageless Man. And he sang a song that she had just sung, and the way he sang it was, she calls it otherworldly. And immediately she was hooked. Let me just go back. Yes. You can. She does look a bit like Amy Winehouse, yeah. 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 Okay. Well, there was a lot of people there. Do you know why they've got Celine Dion there? Because she was also doing that thing with her hand. Okay. I want to show you this again. I know we did it the first night, but after what she said, let's just quickly take another recap and see who Satan really is. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 to 12. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. This speaks of Lucifer, but it's easy for us to focus on the fact that Lucifer has fallen, but look at what God gives us. He says, your pomp is brought down to Sheol and the sound of your stringed instruments. What is stringed instruments? It's music instruments, but give me an example of a stringed instrument. A guitar. Guitar, bass guitar, violin, the harp, the banjo, the piano. You forget the piano is a stringed instrument. Now listen to this. And God doesn't say your stringed instrument. He says your stringed instruments. You want to know who Satan is? He's the maestro of stringed instruments. What our best performers have not yet learned, he's forgotten. There's nothing you can teach him about music. He can take the weirdest, stupidest song on the planet and he can make it the number one top-selling hit in a second if he wants to. Because he was created for one purpose and one purpose only, for music to work through him. Okay, it doesn't stop there. Ezekiel 28 verse 13 says, and it speaks of Lucifer once again. It says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. Okay, this gives us an idea of what Lucifer looks like. You name the precious metal and the precious gem, it's part of who he is. And then there's two other funny words, your timbrels and your pipes. Okay, let's talk about the pipes. What are the pipes? It is wind instruments. That would include flutes, that would include trumpets, trombones, saxophones, bagpipes, etc., etc. And what is timbrels? Okay. Timbrels in the ancient days were percussion instruments. We're talking drums. Now we've got everything. We've got the stringed instruments. We've got the wind instruments. We've got the percussion instruments. You've got a full orchestra. You want to know who Satan is? Satan is an orchestra. And he adapts his orchestra to his audience. Some people want it this way, he'll give it to them that way. Other people want it that way, he'll give it to them that way. Some want more drums, they're going to get more drums. Some want more violence, they're going to get plenty of violence. The fact of the matter is, he's going to give you what you want, but he's going to preach you his message while you listen to it. And that's what makes him so dangerous. How much time have I got left? 10 minutes. Let's see what have I got next. All right. I'm going to just show you one more video. And then next week we'll continue with that video. We've been looking at Satan's influence in the music industry now for a couple of weeks. And it should be quite plain to you now that this is not just a hoax. There is a lot more concrete evidence that proves that Satan is involved in the music business. And he influences a lot of people through it. But what is quite worrying is that lately he hasn't even bothered to try and hide his involvement in the music industry. He's been quite blatant in his actions. I want to show you something that happened in 2009 at the MTV Music Awards. In the 2009 MTV Music Awards, they were characterized by a shocking amount of satanic imagery and symbolism during the show. An actor by the name of Jack Black appeared on stage together with Leighton Meester and proceeded to encourage the audience to pray with him to the devil. Shockingly, most of the audience went along with his prayer, and many of them gave the satanic salute as he called on them to show their devil horns. In his prayer, the actor prayed that musicians and nominees would have continued success in the music industry. Black, of course, later claimed that this was just one big joke. Apparently, nobody told him that the devil doesn't have a sense of humor. Millions of people have destroyed their lives by playing with a Ouija board just for fun. Or playing glassy-glassy because it's interesting. Or trying to communicate with spirits just for the fun of it. Listen to me very carefully. You step onto Satan's territory, he shoots real bullets, not blanks. You don't call on him and he doesn't appear. He might not come in the way you thought, but he'll come and you'll be stuck. I shared with you many years ago, I prayed for a man. He had, I went to pray for him in hospital. He'd been having severe asthma attacks, debilitating asthma attacks. In fact, he'd been boarded. He couldn't work because of the severity of his asthma. And then I said to him, you know what? It looks to me like something else is up here. When you're a bit better, I'll come and pray for you. I went to his house. We sat, we spoke, and I asked him, have you ever been involved in the occult or, you know, did anything that could open the door for evil spirits to come into your life? And then he shared with me this story. When he was very young, just out of school, him and his friends went on a road trip to Durban. They smoked a bit of funny things. They got all high. While they were all high, they had this brilliant idea that they were going to summon the spirit of Jimi Hendrix. They were all into his type of music, which is exactly what they did. They got a glossy together. They, you know, started talking to, calling on the spirit of Jimi Hendrix. And then a spirit spoke to them, and the spirit said to them that he would come and reveal himself to them. At 12 o'clock, they had to stand in front of a mirror. Okay, 12 o'clock that night, they stood in front of the mirror. Something did appear to them in the mirror, and immediately after it appeared, the mirror shattered. They all went and ran out the house. Fact is, it didn't stop there. When you call him, he will come. But then you got to pay him for coming. And he never tells you what you're going to have to pay him for coming. Do you know what this man was paying with? His health. Just like Lady Gaga. When I prayed for him And I commanded the demon that came into him when he summoned the spirit of Jimi Hendrix. He immediately had an asthma attack. How strange. Because he didn't suffer from asthma, he suffered from a demon. And the demon came into his life through spiritism. We call Glossy Glossy and Ouija boards spiritism. When he summoned that spirit, he opened himself up for the spirit to come into him. You see, that's what the demons don't tell you when you play Glossy Glossy or Book and Key or all of these stupid games. They come for you, not for the game. The devil's not interested in games. He plays no games. He's dead serious about souls. He wants souls. And remember, Jesus said he came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he will use anything that he can to get you to that place. Now, Mr. Jack Black stood in front of the entire music world. Because the people that go to the MTV Music Awards is all the top people in the music industry. In front of all of them, he grabbed the microphone and he said, "Let's all call and pray to the devil." And guess what? Nobody stood up and said, "You stupid idiot, you moron, I rebuke you, I bind you, Satan." Everybody was like, "Oh, okay, let's do it." I understand. You know why? Because they've all been hypnotized already. So, you know what? Jimi Hendrix said, when you get people at their weakest point, you can hypnotize them and you can control them. You know, the music world is already controlled by the devil. Play the video for us. It's not very good quality. It was the best I could find.
All right, Jeff. That's good. Backstage, you told me to comment on your muscles if I felt the urge.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for commenting.
I didn't.
I've been working out a lot.
Previous winners of Best Rock Video are some of the most exciting acts of all time. Green Day, Linkin Park, and of course, Aerosmith.
Yeah. Now listen, since we're giving a rock award tonight, who wants to pray to the devil with me? Who's in with me? Come on, hey, let me see those horns. Let me see those horns! Metal! 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 All right, now take the hand of the person next to you. Come on, lady. Dear Dark Lord Satan, hope everything's good with you. I'm doing fine myself. Just want to say hi and ask you to grant tonight's nominees continued success in the music industry. How's that?
Metal. Very metal.
Thank you.
The nominees for Best Rock Video are...
All right. Who wants to pray to the devil with me? Yes. Well, that's what we're trying to show, yes. And they're paying a price for that. You see, unfortunately, like Lady Gaga admits, she had to pay a severe price for this. But if you're wondering who controls the music industry, you don't have to wonder. The devil does. And we need to be very careful. He starts off by praying, "Dear Dark Lord Satan." He's praying to his God. And the people are praying with him because they serve the same God. Satan can give you fame. Satan can give you fortune. In fact, a lot of people have exactly that. But can I tell you what they don't have? They don't have peace and they don't have life. Because Satan is a thief and he came to rob you of your soul. And when you make a pact with him, you will pay for the rest of your life and you will pay in the afterlife. You know, I want to tell you something. Jesus said, in this world, we will have troubles. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Sometimes the devil comes to us with this thing, sell your soul to me, side with me, and I'm going to give you this and that and that. I want you to understand something. Satan gives nothing. It's all a way to take. Giving you R1 million, if it's going to cost you your soul, what price do you put on your soul? Come on, you're worth more than R1 million. You're worth more than 10 million. I don't know how much Lady Gaga has, but her soul is worth more than what he's put in her bank account. And she's only realizing that now. You know, sometimes we look at these people and we think, oh, you know what, it's better to be like them. No, it's not. It's not, because if it's going to cost you your soul to get to that place, it's not worth it. The life that we live down here is going to be fleeting. Boom, like that, it's gone. Eternity is forever, my friend. Eternity you want to spend with God. You want to spend eternity with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You do not want to spend your life with the destroyer, the devourer. You do not want to spend your life with Satan in the pit of hell, in the lake of fire. Come on. That's not good for nobody. And this is the stuff that we have to understand. All right, I'm going to stop there for now. Next week we will look at some more things that happened at the 2009 MTV Music.